May we have to commence this morning's worship by singing together hymn number 333. Hymn 333. Tune Hallelujah 672. O my soul, what means this sadness? Wherefore art thou thus cast down? Let thy griefs be turned to gladness. Bid thy restless fears be gone. Look to Jesus and rejoice in his dear name. Hymn number 333, tune Hallelujah 672.
Let us read from God's holy word, from the book of Numbers, part of chapter 13, and a few verses from chapter 14. The book of Numbers, chapter 13, and we're commenced to read at verse 17, the 17th verse. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what the cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men came from Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came to Hebron, where Haman, Sheshai and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt, and they came unto the brook Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bear it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs, and the place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amorites, and the Amalekites and dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw giants and the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defence is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make thee a greater nation and mightier than they. We'll leave the reading there. May the Lord bless to us his holy word. May the Lord teach us a prayer. Most gracious and most merciful Lord God, in thy goodness and in thy mercy, thou hast brought us to see the dawn of this beautiful Sabbath morn. And O Lord, thou hast brought us safely into thy house. We do beseech thee that thou wilt rend the heavens, thou wilt come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy sweet and sacred presence. And may we each be favoured to feel and to know thy sweet presence, both in our hearts, dear Lord, and too within these walls. And that we may prove what the dear hymn writer said, the season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. And O Lord, we would come with that fervent desire of those Greeks of old when they said, Sir, we would see Jesus. We seek for the divine influence of thy blessed Holy Spirit, and that we may be as dear John and the Isle of Patmos, and be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And O Lord, may thy Spirit rule our spirit, and may we have the Spirit and the mind of Christ. We would come, dear Lord, humbly to thy dear feet, begging that thou would have mercy upon us. We cannot get above the cry of the dear publican when he said, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, we pray that thou would have mercy upon us, Lord. Thou wilt blot out all our many, many sins. Oh, do grant us that heart to truly confess them before thee, a heart to weep and mourn over them, a heart to grieve over them, Lord, to grieve for grieving thee. And oh, we pray thou wilt wash us and make us clean every whit in thy precious, precious blood. And may we be favoured to know the application of it in our souls. As one said, if sin be pardoned, then I'm secure. We pray to have that real religion thou dost give to thy dear people, that we may be amongst those that are truly born of God. And O Lord, how often we have to pray with the psalmist, that I know not, teach thou me. We pray that we might each be in the school of Christ and learn heavenly wisdom well. Lord, who make us, Lord, wise unto salvation. We pray that we may be given grace to humble ourselves at thy dear feet, that we may ever be as nothing, a precious Jesus, the one thing that's needful. Oh, do keep Satan at bay this day, Lord, and through our lives. Thou knowest how real the foe is. One said, crafty is the foe and strong. Saviour, do not tarry long. We seek, Lord, that thou wilt bless thy word that we have read together. And oh, that thou wilt supply thy word to each of our souls, that it may be the word of the King of Kings, and be life and power to us. May we not come in vain this day, or may we not, Lord, in any way grieve thee. May we ever be at thy dear feet as nothing, and a precious Jesus, the all and in all. We pray that thou wilt bless those gathered, Lord. Thou knowest each one's case. May none be empty sent away. Do bless the dear children, Lord. Remember them each with the favour thou bearest to thy dear people. And may it please thee to put thy tender filial fear in their hearts while in early days. For thou hast said it is good that a man should bear the yoke in his youth. Oh, may it please thee to keep them in these evil days, and all the dear young people and those of our own families. May they each be brought to know thee, whom to know is life eternal. And Lord, do hear the prayers of dear parents for their offspring. And we pray thou wilt raise up a seed to serve thee, a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. Do remember, Lord, each one in middle age and all the burdens and cares and concerns they have. We pray thou would undertake for each one. For thou hast said, I will all thy burdens bear. I will all thy needs supply. Who bring to fruition those exercises that are real. But Lord, do dry up all that's only flesh. We pray that thou wilt remember our dear age friends. Lord, we think of Beryl and all her need and weakness and infirmities, Lord. We pray that thou wilt be with her and bless her abundantly in her soul, and favour her to feel thy sweet and sacred presence, and all thy dear aged people. And Lord, do assure them and assure us each that thou art our God, our Saviour, our Redeemer, and that the eternal God is our refuge, and that underneath are the everlasting arms. We pray that thou wilt bless this corner of thy vineyard. We pray, if it's thy holy will, thou wilt quicken many in this town, Lord. May there be an awakening of many sinners round, if it's thy will, to come and fill the place. And oh, that there may be throughout Zion a gracious reviving of thy work. and that there may be a blessed building up, if it would please, to increase the churches too, and our own flock at home, both in congregation and too in the church. And may there be seen yet the wonders thou alone can do, and to add to the church here yet further precious souls. For thou hast said, dear Lord, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Oh, we beg of thee to work. And do remember, Lord, those in affliction's pathway. We pray for that needed healing and restoring, if it's thy will. And oh, that thou wouldst sanctify all these afflictions, and that thy dear people may be enabled to be still and to know that thou art God. And O Lord, do help thy dear servants. We pray for thy dear servant with our own flock today, and may be given that gracious liberty and anointing of the Spirit, and each of thy servants too. And may the word preached be made life and power to thy dear people. May there be that real fruit to follow, Lord. For thou hast said, by me is thy fruit found. O Lord, do appear in the nation, and I see iniquity that runs down our streets, the solemn state we're in, Lord. We don't have to remind thee, thou know. We beg of thee to turn the heart of our King, of our Prime Minister, and those in authority, to seek thee and to do thy will and not their own. And oh, may there be in this land once again real godliness poured forth, and that many, Lord, may fear thy holy name and turn to thee, the only true God. And oh, do come, Lord, and appear for those persecuted throughout the earth, those in earthquake disasters, those, Lord, in war-torn lands. We think particularly of those in Ukraine, Lord. Oh, do work in thy wondrous way and deliver them, if it's thy will, and put down all the enemies of the truth and the evil and violent men. Lord, we commit all these things into thy blessed hands, for thou hast all power in heaven and in earth to do those things that are impossible with us, for Lord, they're not impossible with thee. Do now help us to praise thee for all thy many mercies. We would not let them lie forgotten in unthankfulness, nor without praises die. No, do help us to love and praise thee more. Give thee all the glory, for Lord, the benefit is ours. The glory belongs to thee. Do help our dear friend in the burdens and weights that he has, and do supply his every need. And Lord, do help thy servant as he goes from among the flock, and bless him at Great Yeldham today, and bless the dear friends there. Now, Lord, do anoint us to speak a few things in thy holy name. May thy word have free course and be glorified. Make up in giving where we so fail in asking, and help us to sing thy worthy praises from our hearts. And may we know the realities what we sing. We ask these poor breathings in the precious name of Jesus, and for his dear name's sake. Amen.
The notices for the opening week are that, God willing, Mr. John Hart will preach here on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Timothy Parish next Lord's Day, both morning and evening. And today we take a monthly collection. May we now be helped to continue our worship, singing together hymn number 535 to the tune Dismissal 671. Oh, the love of Christ to sinners, who can make his wonders known? Sin born slaves, through grace are winners of a bright celestial crown. Jesus gives us endless glory and renown. Endless love he fixed upon us in eternities that passed, nor will ever take it from us. Endless love shall ever last. Love redeemed us and will ever hold us fast. Hymn 535, tune Dismissal 671.
Sir.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the book of Numbers, chapter 14 and verse 24. The book of Numbers, chapter 14 and verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. The book of Numbers, chapter 14 and verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. We have the account here in the chapter that we read in chapter 13 of how the Lord had commanded Moses to send forth one from each of the tribes of Israel to search out the land of Canaan. And there were only Caleb and Joshua that brought back a good report. The other 10 brought back an evil report. And as we read in the lesson, the difference between the report that Caleb and Joshua brought back was so different, wasn't it, from that of the 10. And the Holy Spirit has wonderfully recorded in our text some very precious things concerning Caleb. He says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him. You see, the spirit of Caleb and Joshua was so different than that of the 10. And I want us help this morning to look a little at the spirit the Lord gave to dear Caleb and to Joshua, but particularly concerning Caleb, because that's what our text sets forth. And one thing that seemed to so rest upon me was, as we read, but my servant Caleb. Caleb was a true servant of God. Satan has his servants, but the Lord has his. And we find here Caleb wonderfully was given a different spirit than the 10. And firstly, he was given the spirit of faith to venture into that land. The other 10 had a natural spirit, which they went forth, and all they could look at was the impossibilities in the land. And it is so much, isn't it, in our nature. We immediately look at those things that are impossible. Now let me just declare to you what we mean here. You see, Caleb's spirit was the spirit of living faith in gracious exercise. The ten had the spirit of unbelief. Then, dear Mr. Cowper, in that sacred hymn 320, beautifully set it forth, didn't he? When he said, blind unbelief is sure to err and scan God's work in vain. But God is his own interpreter and he will make it plain. You see, as those ten went into the land of Canaan, what did they look at? They looked, first of all, at the strength of those in the land. They immediately, unbelief, said, oh, but they're stronger than we. And then they looked at the walled cities. And they saw the impossibilities there. And then too they looked at the giants. Now, I'll bring it home to us here. Let us look in our own hearts and our own pathways. Have we got those giants that are before us? Have we got those characters that are stronger than we? And Satan is, isn't he? That arch enemy to the child of God. And sometimes you feel, well, he's going to crush you and destroy you. But you see, they looked at all these things, those ten, and they brought back this evil report. But you see, Caleb and Joshua, they had the spirit of faith to look above all those things. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. You may have got giants. You may have got impossibilities this morning. And what sort of spirit are you in? Are you in like the ten? And am I? Or are we like Joshua and Caleb? They had another spirit. And this is what the Lord said. Let us ever remember that. This is what the Lord said concerning Caleb. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him. It wasn't the spirit of unbelief, it was the spirit of faith. And faith will enable us to look above all those things, like the ten were looking at. They were still there, it is true. But faith enabled them to look above it all to Jesus. Those things that are impossible with men are possible with the Lord. And as they went into the land, Caleb in particular, and too with Joshua, they looked above it to him who controls all things. We sing in the hymn, don't we? All events are at his command, the Lord's command. Nothing comes by chance. It wasn't by chance there were these walled cities. It wasn't by chance that they looked at the people and they saw they were stronger than they. It wasn't by chance that they looked at these giants. And there are many giants the Lord's dear people have in their pathway. But they forgot, the ten did, because of unbelief, the land was filled with milk and honey. We read, didn't we, of those wonderful grapes there were on the vines. And you see those first ripe grapes were always classed as the sweetest and the best. And this is what Caleb and Joshua looked at. The things that the Lord had granted them, faith to look at, faith to view. Oh, that we might have the true spirit of faith that Caleb had. You know, and I don't want to just dwell on that spirit. I want to look at our spirit. What sort of spirit have we read? Because he had another spirit with him. A different spirit is found in the child of God than in the world and within the ungodly. Because their spirit is the spirit of man. I want to be something. Caleb and Joshua, all they wanted to do was to do the Lord's will. May we have, as Paul beautifully set it forth so many times in his ministry, the Spirit of Christ. I think in that letter he wrote to the Romans of the difference between the spirit of the flesh, the carnal mind, and the spirit that God gives to his dear children. He says here, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And in thinking upon that, you know, I look back in the 25 years I was on the Gospel Standard Committee, and there were many times that we had to deal with different things that really troubled us and troubled Zion. And there were some, I don't say it in any way to lift up myself, but there were several times that I was asked to go and see different people and solemn different circumstances. And I always felt this, and I used to say to those that went with us, you look what sort of spirit they're in, and then we shall detect where this meeting is going to go. And you think of those as they went into the land of Canaan, one from each of the tribes. What sort of spirit did they go into that land with? Well, I've named that wonderful spirit of faith given to Caleb and Joshua. The others had the spirit of unbelief. And we've no stones to cast at them because we're prone to unbelief, aren't we? The hymn writer said, oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. But my servant, the Lord says, Caleb, because he had another spirit with him. Another spirit. Now, I want to delve a little further into this other spirit, because well, not only did they have the spirit of faith, Caleb and Joshua, but too, they had the spirit of humility. Well, could Peter write those words, which he'd had to learn them by painful experience? Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. The spirit of humility. That's a wonderful thing, you know, to have it, isn't it? Well, let me use an illustration or two from the Word of God. You think of the case of Legion, the Mad Gadarene. When he was dwelling among the tombs, he had the spirit of hardness and rebelliousness, didn't he? These ten that went into the land, they had a spirit of rebelliousness and hardness. And that's how Legion was, because he was under the influence of the devil. The devil's reigned in him, not just one, many, a legion of them. And we've no stones to cast at him, because that's in our old nature. And not that we give any license to that at all, we wouldn't. But you look, when the Lord Jesus cast out those devils from him, where did the Lord bring him? And what sort of spirit did he have then? Well, we read, don't we, that he sat at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Wonderful spirit was found in him then. Oh yes. The Lord had removed all the rebelliousness and hardness from him. He was humbled in the dust. Oh, he was at the feet of Jesus, clothed in humility, clothed in love, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. As our text says, another spirit within him. And you think of Peter, we just step back to him a moment, because Peter, left to himself in the judgment hall, didn't he, denies his Lord and Master. He had that spirit of hardness and rebelliousness, didn't he? But you know, just one look from the Saviour when that cock crew, all that had to go. And what did dear Peter do? He went out. And he wept bitterly. Real heart repentance. May we have granted to us, and it's been with me so much since the Lord gave me this text, the spirit of humility, of love, of real repentance, of true godly sorrow. You look at the difference between the Pharisee and the publican. He was given, the publican was, a real spirit of prayer, wasn't he? Oh, he was. And you know how sweet it is when the Lord gives us a real spirit of prayer. The hymn writer said, pray if thou canst or canst not speak. And oh, that the Lord would grant us this other spirit. It's not found in the world, is it? Or in the ungodly. It's found in the child of God. And you look at the difference between the Pharisee. He prayed thus with himself. And they're so different than the publican, isn't it? The Holy Spirit indicted that real prayer, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner, out of the depths of his heart. He had that true spirit of humility and the true spirit of prayer. Go back to what Paul said to the Romans, except ye have the Spirit of Christ, ye are none of his. He could well write, didn't he, dear Peter, as I quoted just now, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. Now one preaches these things to oneself because we need them so much, don't we? That the Lord to remove all the unbelief, to remove all our pride, to remove all our self-righteousness. to remove all the worldliness there is in us, the carnality, so much of the spirit of the flesh. So he says here, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him. Another spirit. You know, there are times when we are hard and we are rebellious, if we know our own hearts. And I remember on one occasion being very rebellious and a matter of providence, and I mourned over it, you know, inwardly. Yet there was that rebelliousness in me. But you know, the Lord knew exactly how to melt me. And he said this to me, rebellious thou hast been, and art rebellious still. I could take you to the very spot in Chart Sutton. And I was in a hop garden, and as I looked at things in my providential pathway and regarding my work and all that concerned me in my soul, and there was all this rebelliousness in me, I should never forget it. I walked up that hop garden alley full of rebelliousness, and I say to my shame. And the Lord spoke audibly from heaven to me in that hop garden, rebellious thou hast been, and art rebellious still. And then he melted me with this, but since in love I took thee in, my promise I fulfill. And you know, my heart melted in a moment. But since in love. You know, it's a wonderful thing when we are blessed with the spirit of the love of Christ in us. Caleb and Joshua knew it. Oh, they did. That's why they could look heavenward to the Lord in all this matter. And may the Lord grant us as we venture on in the journey from this service that we might have more and more of the spirit of Christ and of humility, humbled in the dust, to be nothing, you see. The Apostle Paul knew it ever so well, didn't he? He said, though I be nothing, and he was willing to be, and yet he knew what it was to look back in his unregenerate days prior to the Damascus Road. And well, you look at him there. He took the first part of that journey in rebelliousness and hatred, didn't he? Against the Lord and against the Church of God. But you look at what the Lord wonderfully did as he reveals to him a precious Jesus. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And what did it do? It emptied him of all the hatred and rebelliousness and hardness and brought him to say this, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And you know, that came out of a very soft-hearted Saul. Oh, it did. He had completely another spirit in him, didn't he? A spirit that was willing to serve the Lord, to seek the Lord, to do his will. Lord, what wilt thou have me do? It's a good prayer, isn't it? It may be there are things you're into today and you say, Lord, but what wilt thou have me to do? It may be a small thing, it may be a great thing. Have that spirit that he was given. And all he wanted to do was the Lord's will. And Caleb and Joshua were in this spirit, you see, when they went into the land. They wanted to go into that land and seek the Lord's will in it. He promised them to give them that land. And he alone was to fulfill it. So we have this wonderful word then. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully. You know, it's one thing to follow the Lord partly, but another thing to follow him fully. Oh, it is. We read some very searching words in John's Gospel of those that profess to be followers of the Lord Jesus. But after the searchingness of his ministry, what do we read? They went back and they walked no more with him. They weren't real followers. They didn't follow the Lord fully. Now you look in your heart and mine this morning, are we following the Lord fully? Completely? Or are we just following, well, the old preachers used to say, I was thinking of it as we came here this morning. You know, the old preachers used to say they were fair weather followers. And there's a lot of them about today. They say, well, we're following the Lord, and they follow him all the time things go well. But as soon as the way gets hard and gets difficult, they don't want to know. They go off in some other way. But you see, Caleb and Joshua, they followed the Lord fully into that land. They had this, as I've tried to so briefly set before you this morning, this wonderful spirit. They wanted to do the Lord's will. I preached from this word and some years ago now at Hanover, Tunbridge Wells on one August bank holiday. And there were those, and I knew not what they were in, but there were those there that were so exercised about following the Lord in his sacred ordinances. And during that evening service particularly, I dwelt on the following the Lord fully. And the Lord wonderfully used the word, and there were some older saints that were brought into such concern as I preached. I think of a dear man, he's now in glory, but he was past the 80s, and he was so exercised about following the Lord, and he realised this, he'd not followed the Lord fully. And as I preached, you know, he said to me some time afterwards, he said, you know, it was just as though you knew exactly what I was in. He said, I've tried to follow the Lord step by step, in keeping his commandments, his ways, and obeying his word. But, he said, I'd never walked in the step of baptism. And he said, as you preached, it was so laid on me, I got to follow the Lord fully. Just briefly, and then I'll leave it. But my late dear grandfather, he was 82 when he was baptized. And the Lord did it in a most wonderful way. He never had the exercise concerning baptism. But one night, and I used to sleep in the next bedroom to him, so I used to hear some of his prayers. He used to pray audibly. And I used to listen to him pleading with the Lord, groaning before the Lord that the Lord would come and bless him. And one night he couldn't go to sleep because of all the sin there was in him, and begging of the Lord that he might go to sleep and have a little rest. And the Lord spoke to him. So he giveth his beloved sleep. And he went to sleep. And he woke at 3 o'clock in the morning, if I remember rightly. It was early morning. And as he woke, the Lord spoke audibly from heaven, just as though the Lord stood by him. And he said this to him, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be whiter than snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And the dear man, he says, "Lord, me a poor wretched sinner, reason with thee." And oh, as he looked for his sin, that was all gone. And the dear man was so full of the love of Christ. He said, "Lord, whatever thou dost tell me, I will do." And immediately the Lord laid the exercise of baptism upon him. And on the following day, it was the Thanksgiving service at Frittenden. And the late Mr. Clark was pastor at Barton, was the minister. And he went to the service. And during the sermon, dear Mr. Clark stopped and he said, "Is there one here that couldn't sleep last night because of your sin?" And then he came and he spoke to you, "So he giveth his beloved sleep." And then he said, and then he woke you after he'd given you sleep with those beautiful words which I just quoted. "Come now, let us reason together." And it was just as though the Lord had told Mr. Clark, well, I know he had, all what the dear man was in. And you know, he couldn't rest until he took up his cross and followed the Lord fully. And oh, it was a blessed occasion. I remember helping him up out of the pool. And as he came out, you know, with all his power, sung that doxology of "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." You see, the Lord had done wondrous things. He'd given him the spirit of willingness and of submission to obey his Lord and Master and to follow him. And we have it in our text. And may the Holy Spirit apply it to us each. May we have the great concern in each of our hearts this morning, and I preach it to myself, to have what Caleb had here. But my servant, this is what the Lord said about him, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. It was not just for Caleb, it was for his seed after him to know the same blessing. May it be so with us each. Well, may the Lord add his blessing to his holy word. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn number 550. Hymn 550 to the tune Indulgence 547. My soul, rejoice and sing thy Father's glorious praise, and let his precious love employ thee all thy days. Proclaim with honour to his name that God is love and still the same. Hymn 550, tune Indulgence 547.
My soul rejoices.
Dear Lord, do come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts. Do bless thy own precious word. May we have more and more of the Spirit of Christ, each of us, be humbled in the dust. Make us as nothing, that a precious Jesus may be the all and in all. Be with us now and come up with us again this evening if it would please thee. Forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. May the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.